I'm going to kind of suspend the roll call until we have a little bit more time to make sure everyone who's trying to get in is in. Or actually, let's just go through with it and then we can add Jay when he logs in. So I'm just going to go ahead to try to make this easier for public record and read a list of names of people who were sent invites to this. So if you are here when I call your name, go ahead and say here, just like school. Ahmad, is Ahmad here? Okay, Barbara Anderson is not here. Kale Pyland. Dave Weston.
Here.
Hey, Dave, Delanne, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Eric, you're here?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yes. Galena?
Still here and trying to troubleshoot with Jay.
Okay. Councillor Majevi?
Present.
Thanks for joining us. Jay, we still don't have yet. Looking through the names so I don't waste too much time. Kevin, are you here?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Kevin. Laura?
I am here.
Hi, Laura. Nicole from Maine
Here.
Public Schools. Hi, Nicole.
Hey.
Stacy?
Here.
Steve Marshall? We saw him shredding paper, so we know he's here.
I'm here, sorry.
You're good. Is there anyone who is speaking today that I did not call? All right, let's get
Kelsey, if
going.
I
Yeah.
may, I'm sorry, Kelsey, if I could interrupt you. We do have two attendees on the line. I'm not sure if one of them is Jay. So if you don't mind, I'd like to unmute the two callers and see if one of them is potentially him.
Sure, this will be a
Okay.
mystery surprise. Let's see.
Oh, okay, one moment. Call-in user six, is this Jay?
Might be me, Jim Couch.
Oh, hi, Jim. Good to hear your
Hello.
voice.
Okay, one moment. Thank you. Call-in user seven, is that you, Jay?
It might be me, Gary Vance. I was talking to Galena about the master plan update and just thought I'd listen in and
Okay.
see how that is going and participate maybe in the
Okay.
future.
Thank you so much.
All right, so we're still working on Jay. So we're gonna hopefully, Alexandra, are you helping him with that? Hopefully.
Yes, I'll call him right now.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so Alexandra sent out a packet of materials today. So if we could pop into the meeting minutes. I don't see those actually in my materials. Dave, do you have a copy of the meeting minutes from last month in front of you that you could read to us?
I do. Okay, call to order, Kelsey, at 4:15. A motion to draft letter to be signed by PAB and Harmony to oppose 13th Avenue splitting the Harmony Sports Complex and to create a subcommittee to meet to discuss the grant requirements and address 13th Avenue. That was motion by Jay and second by Barbara at 5:08. And our second action item was a motion to adopt the 11th or August 11th minutes as submitted at 5:59. Motion by Barbara, second by Jay. Meeting adjourned at 6:02.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. And I should go back. I've been discombobulated with our tech issues to say that this meeting was officially called to order at 4:08 once we sort of got through our tech issues. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from September?
So moved, John Spencer.
I'll second it.
Is that Stacy?
Yes.
Perfect. So it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries and meeting minutes are approved. Couple meeting reminders. We're going to try to keep on mute unless you're speaking. I'm going to try to check the question and answer section frequently. So I can, if you have questions, to make sure they get answered by guest speakers today. A reminder to submit volunteer hours. I did have a question about that. With the volunteer coordinator position being unfilled right now, Galena, where do you want those hours going if we submit them usually and don't use the online system?
You could send everything to me and we'll figure it out. I'll make it easy for you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Did we have any public comments submitted via email?
I don't believe we've received any. I'm looking to Alex. I know she's troubleshooting with Jay. Alex, has anything come in last minute? Alex is kind of playing multiple roles, so.
Yeah, Galena, when you emailed me like an hour ago, we had none. So when Alex gets back on, we'll double check with her before the end of our meeting at on number 8 on our agenda, public comment, just to make sure nothing came in.
Perfect.
All right, we're gonna discuss new business right now, the PAB member appointment update led by Galena and myself. So Galena, do you wanna kind of let us know where we're at with numbers of applicants, timelines, that sort of thing?
Okay, before I do that, I did see a chat response from Alex that there were no public comments received. Yeah, just a quick update. As you all know, we have a recruitment for the Parks Advisory Board and have received so far 4 applications. There are 3 positions. We have received information from Kelly Putney, as all of you, I believe, know already, that he will not be submitting for his position and has effectively resigned as of last meeting. So at this point, I imagine we might get maybe a few more applications. The recruitment closes at the end of October. After that is done, the county manager's office, actually all the applications go to county manager's office first. They will send us all of the information and then we will need to have an internal process to vet them and then send our recommendations back to the county manager's office and then council appoints. That's a very, very high level overview. I don't know what your preference has been or how you've managed the review process of applications that you received. So I'd like to have a conversation about that, if not today, then at some point soon. If you would rather form a committee or do it in one of your meetings, that's really, I feel like that's still up to you. Or is up to you, not still up to you. That is still up to you.
So what we've done for the past, for Stacy's appointment, was the executive committee reviewed the applicants we received. Then we narrowed it down. We had like a ranking system and a discussion. We narrowed it down and then forwarded our preferences. We ranked them like this is our first preference and this is our second preference and sent it back to the county manager's office. This was something when I know we've had to delay due to the pandemic, our bylaw sort of retreat to really discuss our bylaws. This is something I would want to ask legal if we can incorporate into our bylaws, because there is nothing written down right now on how our board actually does these recommendations. But I do think it's important to have some input from our board on who would be a good fit, because we all sort of know which area of the community we represent and what skills we have and what we're looking to bring on board. So I would prefer to keep it that way, but let's open it to discussion if people want to change that or, you know, evolve that in a different way. I'm open to hearing that.
So, FYI, I do see Jay on the line. I don't see a video for him, and he is muted. So if you want to test his mic, he appears to be in your participant list.
I think I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yay. Hi, Jay.
Oh, good. Hello.
So one of the applicants this time should be somebody I've been encouraging to apply. How do we deal with that when I've got a conflict at that point? Do I just recuse myself?
Well, technically, the executive committee would be myself, Dave,
oh, right.
And Jay. So you wouldn't have to worry about it. But yeah, if we do know someone personally who has applied, I think we should recuse ourselves from the whole panel. And I only glanced at the names we've received. I would like, when Stacy came through, we had 7 applicants. And I would really like to have a bigger number than 3 or 4 if we're sending 2. So I would encourage everyone who knows anyone. And again, Kelly's kind of wish was, and I agree with him, we're not a very diverse group. We kind of a push for someone who, you know, is different than us, has different experiences than us in the community with parks, and has a different sort of perspective. We all kind of have a similar perspective on parks. And so more diversity, his wish was that he is replaced by someone who's not like Kelly Putney. and so
there are no other Kelly Putneys, just for the record.
That is 100% true. There are definitely no other Kelly Putneys. And so I know we did a big push to reach out to communities of color and such. And I was hoping for a lot more applications than we received. So if we can all, you know, word of mouth, push it out on your social media, send email, forward the email to as many people as you know who think would bring a lot, you know, a different perspective and more diversity to our board, that would be great. And again, I hate picking 2 out of 4 to send. I would like a bigger pool of applications, ideally. And I know in the past we have, and that's another question for you guys. I know in the past we've looked at some and said, none of these folks are a good fit for the board. And we've kind of put it to bed and then sent it out again a month later. And we did that with Stacy's position. And then we got 7 applicants, because I think we only had 1 the first time we opened it. And we offered it to that gentleman, and then he never responded to us, which, so I think, you know, Kelly hasn't been super present the past year anyways. He really hasn't attended any of our meetings. So we're already kind of operating with his role vacant. What are people's thoughts on, I mean, again, we don't have a written process for this. If the executive committee says this, none of these applicants are really appropriate or qualified.
Kelsey, can I jump in? So the group knows,
please,
what our efforts are in terms of recruitment. So we've done some really sort of traditional stuff at first. We did a news release that ran a few times. To be honest, I didn't see it picked up in the Columbian, but I also could have missed it. I only get an e version of the newspaper. We put it on Diversify the Workforce. We put it on the Communities of Color webpage. I personally sent it to a list of folks who have helped us in other discussions on various underrepresented community matters, a list of about 100 different contacts. Stacy said she did see it in the Columbian. Thank you, Stacy. So over the next few weeks before the recruitment closes, it will be advertised through social media again. And one thing I will encourage, kind of to John's point, if you know of someone, reach out to them personally. You know, there are some folks in your group who share that they speak other languages. So even though you have only four people right now, I think you are reaching out to people who are very interested and who might represent different segments of our community. But I think because there's not a lot of people understand how this works and what it is and what's the difference, and that, you know, direct approach is also very, very helpful. But staff will continue to do advertisements for the next 2 weeks before we close it.
I was going to ask, in the closing, October 31 or 30?
And if I could ask the chair, if I may just ask Alina, has Mayor Lee sent it out to the neighborhood associations, to Nextdoor, specifically to LULAC or YWCA, the NAACP? How widespread are the announcements?
It's exactly the same distribution list, Counselor, as we would use for any other news release, and it covers neighborhood associations and things of that nature. And then in addition to it, I send a personal email to many of our groups that we met through the Parks and Recreation Open Space planning process, the LULAC, and various types of organizations like that. I do believe that in our case, a bit of this personal outreach, so if you know someone, Counselor, Kelsey, John, myself, we reach out to people directly, I think we'll be able to get more applicants.
All right, so let's do this. Let's wait till it closes. Let's have the executive committee go through however many applications we receive, and then we can come back and give a report to the board about, we think we have some great applicants, we want to move forward, or we're not really sure, and then we can kind of go from there. Does that sound appropriate? Great. Okay, reservation and permits update. Eric, are you ready to give that presentation?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Eric Christensen, Program Coordinator with Parks and Lands. I oversee the parking fee program, the picnic shelter reservations program, and park use permits for the division. Before we get moving, should I share my screen? Would that be the best option here for folks to see the slide deck that we have?
I've just presented, or I've just changed you to presenter, Eric, so you have that ability.
Okay, thank you. Bear with me just a moment. There we go. Okay. So as you all know, 2020 has been an unprecedented year. We are expecting unprecedented numbers and frankly a shutdown in our parking fee program. So what we'll do here is just give you a quick update and talk a little bit about our operations daily. Fee collection is handled daily at four locations. It's typically year-round. This year, due to COVID-19, we did not really open our fee booths until mid to late June, which we thought would have a pretty serious impact on our bottom line this season. Surprisingly, as these numbers will go through and you'll see, it didn't have as big of an impact as we would have expected. And as folks have either discussed or heard kind of anecdotally, with parks being one of the only kind of options for people, people were actually frequenting parks very heavily, and I'd say in some instances probably more heavily than in previous seasons. And as you see here, four locations where we do collect parking fees are Frenchman's Bar, Louisville, Salmon Creek at the Klein Line Pond side of the park, and then Vancouver Lake Regional Park as well. So quickly, just bottom line here with revenue for 2020 is we're about the end of September, first week or so of October, we are nearly at $450,000 in revenue. compared to the previous two seasons, obviously we're down, but that number is pretty surprising given that we had fee booths closed for all of May and most of June, which are two of our heavier months, and that's reflected in the fee booth revenue number you see at the top of the slide. We did not create or issue any parking contracts, so that's why you see a number there, a zero there. And a parking contract is essentially when a guest comes to us and says, hey, we want to pay for our guests' parking, for our entire party's parking. So we work with them to make that happen. And a lot of, and the only time where we will issue a parking contract is when we have, the group has a picnic shelter reserved. And as you may or may not know, we either canceled all existing reservations or we stopped or we prohibited shelter reservations from occurring based on the Safe Start gathering restrictions issued by the governor's office. So no picnic shelter reservations this year. A handful of park use permits were issued prior to the shutdown in March, probably in the range of about $1,200 to $1,300 in revenue. So it was an insignificant number as far as park use permits. And then picnic shelters again were unfortunately a zero this year. But like I said, we did see a huge number of folks, or a surprising number of people, attending parks this summer. Annual pass sales were pretty strong, as you can see here on the, annual pass sales at the Permit Center downtown, the Battleground Community Center, and then 78th Street were closed in March, which then pushed all parking pass sales either to our online option, which is here in the second column, 63,780, and or the column up above it within that 385,000. Those were parking passes. That number includes parking passes that were sold directly in the fee booths after we reopened in June. So move forward to show you a little bit in terms of transaction, just to show you transaction volume, just to show you that people were visiting parks very heavily. The bottom line number here for 2020, we processed about a little over 116,000 transactions between this upper category, which is for fee booths. 59,042 fee booth transactions were processed so far this year. And then this lower subtotal, 57,175, those were parking meter transactions. So when we did not have staff in those fee booths in May and June, the parking meters were able to collect some of that potentially lost revenue. So that's the good news. And then what I'll also point out here is if you look at the fee booth transactions at Frenchman's Bar are roughly equivalent over the past three seasons. And again, I'll point out that that booth was closed for the better part of 2 months of our busy season. So that tells you, if you look at that number, the 24,694 transactions in 2020. If you go down to the bottom of the page here where the parking meter transactions are, which were nearly 15,000, Frenchman's was extremely busy this summer. And this is even accounting for the fact that all of our picnic shelters were not accepting reservations, we weren't allowing reservations, and we were not allowing any of the large types of events like runs and marathons and so forth that would typically occur at this park. So that kind of gives you an overview of just how busy we were just despite picnic shelters being closed for the summer. And I'll move on to the next slide, which just shows you our annual pass sales volume, 2020 relative to the previous two seasons. Numbers were down at each brick and mortar location. However, you can see that online was a tremendous resource for us. We sold nearly 1,700 passes via our online option. So that was incredibly helpful. And then our bottom line on pass numbers for this year versus the previous couple of seasons were relatively stable, which was again surprising. And again, it just kind of points out people were going out to parks throughout the summer. So I'll leave it at that. And that'll conclude what I've got for you today, and I'd be happy to take any kind of questions you might have at this time.
So this is John Spencer. I'm surprised at how well we actually did, given, you know, lack of fee booths and whatnot. Is there a lesson here? Do we need fee booths in the future? I mean, obviously they provide other services as well, but some of these numbers kind of beg a question.
Can I jump in, Eric?
Yes, sir.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a much larger discussion, John, that deserves some analysis on our end. Our immediate reaction is, like you said, without the fee booth attendance, Frenchman's Bar parking lines were outside all the way to Vancouver Lake. So even if, you know, the benefit of not having them in terms of revenue generation is great, I think it greatly outweighs the safety component, the parking, the moving people and making sure they're not bringing booze. I mean, before we got approval to bring the fee collectors back, it was a challenging few weeks. And largely, again, you know, people tried to pay. They'd stop and attempt to pay with their car, their money, but it became quite challenging. Now, we are looking at potentially getting more meters, putting them through different parks and different locations. We've launched a pay-to-park app so people could go inside and pay later. But that's going to take some education and educating our community on how to use those resources. So we'll keep looking at it. It's of a lot of interest to us, too. But we quickly learned this year, but we really need those bodies and those booths.
I also had a question regarding, I think it's on page 3. It doesn't really have, there's nothing for 2020, but under parking contracts, there is such a huge difference between 2018 and 2019. Was there a specific event that caused that discrepancy? Or I was just curious why there's such a big difference there.
I'm not entirely sure. I think we may have, we didn't have online passes necessarily as an option. So I think there were some passes that may have been included here, but parking contracts were, I don't really have a great answer other than I think parking contracts were down over the previous 2 years, but I'd have to go back and really look at that a little more closely to get you an answer I feel comfortable with.
I just have a couple of observations. One, I think we've seen how important parks are to people in the pandemic, and I hope when the pandemic is over that people continue to treasure our parks. And two, I think we're going to constantly see Frenchman's Bar's number go up and Vancouver Lake's numbers go down in perpetuity until we resolve some of those water issues at Vancouver Lake. And I'd like to see, I mean, if you just look at the transaction volume, 2018, 24,000 transactions at Vancouver Lake, then it dropped to 19,000 in 2019, and then 7,000 in 2020. And I think that's probably just, you know, people can't take their kids there to play in the water. So they're going to go to Frenchman's, which as, and Climbline too, its numbers are down significantly. I'd be curious to how much that is water quality based. I know it's some, but it's going to be interesting to see, I mean, if we can improve that water quality, if we can get those numbers up, because those are two safe places relatively to take your kids to play in the water. The Columbia River is definitely a more risky water play environment. So just food for thought there.
And I just, again, just caution was this year, as a reminder, we did not even have fee booth attendance in and ready to roll until the summer has already started. You know, we would have started much earlier, right? Normally we start when the weather gets warmer around May. And, you know, as much as we want to believe that people will see a sign that says pay to park and take, you know, take care of it. We did have, you know, people who would go into park and not pay the fees without the food, the fee booth attendant. So one thing we could do, if it's of interest to the board, is do an intercept surveys in some parks, maybe not next year, but the following year, and just to see why people are going here more and less here, and what's driving some trends to understand the dynamic better too.
And I know we've talked about it in years past, and we've kind of kicked the can down the road, but are we going to discuss fee increases? I mean, I know previous surveys have shown us as way below market value at our $3. And I know it's not a popular topic, but are we running, you know, numbers on that, Eric or Galena?
Eric, I feel like I'm stealing your thunder, but feel free to jump in too. We have done some analysis, Kelsey, before the governor's first orders went out after the pandemic started, thinking that we should probably have this conversation. And honestly, for a lot of different reasons, including right now, there's so many people who are unemployed, and there's so many other issues and reasons why we want people to just go to a park and kind of decompress. We didn't really force this issue this year, but we should have a conversation again next year, because staff have done analysis to show you where we are, how we compare to the market, what increases could potentially be, good for us in terms of meaningful revenues. So we have it all prepared, and we were hoping to bring it back to you next year.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the politically correct time probably to do it, but I know we put it off year after year after year, and I know there's just more pressure for us to generate some revenue, so, and we don't have a lot of options on doing that, so. All right, anyone else have anything to add to reservation and permit update from Eric?
I'll just quickly second Kelsey's comments that the time is pretty well nigh for that discussion.
Duly noted. All right, we're gonna move to unfinished business. I asked Laura if we could move Harmony up in front of the post plan, because I know Councilor Majewi has been really helpful in these discussions with us, and I wanted to make sure he could hear that discussion before he has to leave. So we are going to roll with Harmony. And I know there was a meeting today with AC and Jay Harmony folks. So I'm going to turn it over to them and then have Galena fill in when they're done.
Okay. Stacey, you want to go or you want me to?
I can start and maybe you can fill in.
Sure.
Or whatever. I just took some notes when I got home, and I think the meeting was, I would call it a success. I think like Jay said, we kicked the can a little bit further down the road, but there was also some progress. The city isn't willing to stand down on 13th Street at this point, and I think everybody knows that. But there was an agreement between the city and HSA that a DA or an ILA, which is an interlocal agreement between the city and the county, would be a good path forward. And that DA or ILA would outline how regard to 13th Street. Site plan approval without right of way dedication, provided that the drive aisle that aligns with 13th Street is a possible future 13th Street. The city has extended approvals for site plans, which is 5 years. And that was definitely a positive for them. The city agreed that the HSA site plan pre-application approval could be extended. I think it was, if I remember right, it was the pre-app happened in 2017, and typically those are only they're only a year before they expire, and they're willing to extend that with a simple waiver. And the city will be giving Charlie and Sean a summary of what was agreed upon today. So I don't know if stuff I missed. I mean, that's kind of what I got from the meeting today. So I thought it was fairly successful.
So let me add just a little bit there. It was fairly successful. The good news was the pressure is off and a sense of urgency for getting the grant funds committed. Gwena, as you know, that can be extended now, and or it will be extended to the 2023. So that gave everybody an opportunity to sit down and go through a site plan process. The city and the county will have to enter into either the ILA, the inter-local agreement, or a development agreement. The key about those would be twofold. One is, as Stacy said, the city is not backing off 13th Avenue Street, but they are allowing HSA to go forward and make that a drive aisle for right now, as they call it, which is basically a three-lane driveway, if you will, roadway. And then the second item is they're either the ILA or the DA, you know, obviously HSA wants to participate. They are only between the landowner, i.e. the county, and the city, who's dictating how the land can be used or governs how the land can be used. The city is willing to add into the language that if 13th Street goes forward in a full section or full need due to traffic, that there's some stipulations in there, and those will be either in the DA or the ILA, where if it goes forward, then it will be, you know, there'll be some concessions to HSA, i.e. moving things around, things built. I think that's a bone of contention, or will be, because I think HSA is looking at this as an opportunity to maximize or optimize their layout if they get reimbursed for moving fields around. This city, or whoever is driving the cause of this, which will basically have to bear the cost, will probably end up just saying, well, we impact one baseball field, so therefore we'll pay for one baseball field being moved. Now, where and how that all has to be discussed. But that's something that will be discussed on down the road, as everybody's talked about. So anyway, I agree with Stacy. It was a positive meeting. It was moving forward. Again, without the grant funds having to be spent or committed to within by the end of 2021, that relieves a lot of pressure. The city had several people there. Ryan was their head of transportation, and a gentleman that they walked up when I was distracted on a phone call, but he's with the city. I want to say Tim was his first name. I never got his last name. Stacy, I don't know if you did, or his position with the city.
Was that not Ahmad?
No. It was a gentleman standing to the, standing between on the other side of you from Ahmad. He had the baseball cap on.
Oh yeah. I didn't get his name.
I got the feeling he was part of the development group or development division under Chad, community development or something, because he knew about site plans. He was talking to site plans and processes, and he was talking about the cost. The only thing I would, I'll correct Stacy a little bit on, is that it was Grant who was going to, Grant was there. Grandejong, and he was going to write up the minutes from the meeting, not the city. So the county was.
And he will. He actually sent me a very quick summary just to add to what Jay and Stacy said. I can concur with everything what Grant had shared with me. It sounded like a really positive, solutions-focused conversation. We'll continue to be involved and engaged. Tomorrow, before I forget, we staff are going to council time to review a letter that was drafted a while back with some revisions that we've made recently. A letter that council will be sending to the city of Vancouver when time is right. So I'm really happy to hear that the conversation was solutions focused. I will report on it tomorrow to council so they could be aware of what's going on. But the letter specifically will be on their docket for tomorrow's council time if you want to call in and listen to the discussion.
Okay.
Anyone else want to chime in? Jay, go. I think that's the update.
So.
Great. Thank you guys for going to it. Kind of roundtable discussion from the board and anyone else?
So I could add a little bit. I obviously wasn't at the meeting, and I guess I would start by asking, what were there any council members from the county present at the meeting today?
No, sir. Was not.
And I could add, Councillor Medvedev, the city had specifically asked to hold off inviting council members to attempt to have a conversation at that level, but we do plan to invite Councillor Olson, who volunteered to be engaged with the group.
Okay. So I just want to give you my view on it. Number one, I think as much as I can gauge in our discussion on the letter that Galina just mentioned, you know, the county council, I think, is pretty uniformly behind working with the city not to have 13th go through. And if it does go through, it would be only a pedestrian or a bike path. So we don't, I think we have unanimity on the county level. And I'm hopeful, because I did hear some very positive feedback from the city manager that, you know, the politics haven't really worked out yet. I don't know that all the staff is in of a one mind with the city manager. And certainly once we engage the city councilors, I think I'm very positive and optimistic that we're going to work this out in a better way than just driving 13th straight through the park. So anyway, we're at the beginning. We're trying to keep it upbeat and positive and let the staff make as much headway as they can between the county and the city. And I would say that I'm very proud of what Galina and Ahmad and staff have been doing. They've teed up a lot of great options to engage with the city staffers to try to make this the very best plan in the future. So I'm optimistic it's going to have a good outcome.
Yeah, and thank you, Councillor Medvedev, for being a big advocate and joining our meetings to discuss this issue, because I do think once the public and people who utilize that facility get more wind of this, that they're going to be coming to us and they're not going to be happy about this proposed road. So we appreciate your support through the process. Thank you. All right. Anyone else want to chime in on Harmony?
Let me add one thing else.
Yeah.
Since Councillor Medvedev is on the line, in the meeting. At the end of the meeting, HSA made a reference to the fact that their players' families are, you know, not in favor of 13th Avenue Street going through, and they made a reference that I interpreted as that may come out in the press sooner than later, and that they hoped that if somebody was shown in a bad light, that it wouldn't hinder progress in our discussions. And I'll leave it at that, but that's kind of what was said. So, Councillor, don't don't be surprised if something comes out. I just don't want anybody to be surprised by if something comes out, because I didn't know anything about that. I had not spoken to anybody anything about that, but HSA might have. I guess is what it's saying. So anyway, just a heads up.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Last call for Harmony. And I'm sure done.
I promise.
Okay. I'm sure we'll continue to see this on unfinished business for a very long time on our agenda. So definitely not the last word on it. I've received a request to let Kevin go in front of Laura. Laura has been so gracious in all the chat messages I sent her about bumping her down the agenda. Thank you, Laura, for your flexibility. So Kevin is going to do a property inquiry presentation for us. So take it away, Kevin.
Will do. Okay, Alex, are you able to switch over controls so that I can share my screen?
Yep, I've passed it on to you.
Awesome, thank you so much. So here goes. Hopefully you can all see that. So within the last few months, we've had several inquiries about property that we own, other entities requesting property. We had one donation request and a couple of other inquiries from private landowners asking about surplusing some of our property. So I just wanted to run through these with you guys. We presented them to council recently and wanted to get your take. So like I mentioned, there was at least a couple of requests for surplus, possible transfer of ownership, and then there was one donation. I put all this together in the form of a memo summarizing the inquiries, and then we presented to council members in one-on-one meetings. The first one that I wanted to talk to you about is Hawkinson School District approached the Parks Department, Parks Lands Division, about a potential acquisition of some of the undeveloped portion of Hawkinson Community Park. So they're interested in approximately 40 acres near the corner of 172nd Avenue and 119th Street. Laura Hoggett and I reached out to the Recreation and Conservation Office, and Laura did a lot of digging on this, and we discovered that that portion of the property doesn't have any grant restrictions. The remainder of the property has both grants for purchase and development. The district also has a property that could be a potential land trade. It's 35 acres that's east of Hawkinson, and I'll show you a map of that here in a second. So like I mentioned, we discussed this with council members in one-on-one meetings, and our recommendation at the time was to essentially continue the conversation with Hawkinson School District, and council wanted us to also check in with you. So this is a picture of Hawkinson Community Park. The turquoise color is essentially developed. The sort of reddish brown color is where future disc golf course is going to go. And then the lime green is the area that we have found is not grant restriction in any way, and an area that the school district is potentially interested in. And then this is the property that they currently own east of Hawkinson, proximate vicinity of Northeast 169th Street and Northeast 212th Avenue. And we do have Steve from Hawkinson School District here available to talk more about what their needs are and also answer any questions that you might have. So I'll shut up for a minute and let him talk.
Hello, everyone. Sorry for the mask, but I am joined by Michelle Scott. And Michelle Scott is our business services director in the Hawkinson School District. And so we're both in the same room, so we're masking up. I'm smiling right now. And so I wanted to make sure I acknowledge Galena and Kevin I know how busy you are at Clark County. I just know how it works right now in our public sector. I'm sure you're doing more with less. And I sure have appreciated the responses, the timely responses whenever I've inquired or asked for a follow-up. So thank you, Galena and Kevin, very much. Hawkinson School District, although right now our enrollment is dipped a little bit due to remote learning. We've lost some families for the interim because they've opted for homeschooling. Our enrollment is growing, and that has really shown up at our elementary level. We're a school district that is comprised of three schools, an elementary, a middle, and a high school. And our elementary school is at capacity. And what do you mean? But what does at capacity mean? From what I understand, we have the maximum number of sewer connections allowed at that particular site without a major upgrade. So 870 students on one site is pretty significant. I would say, I think we have 19 portable, and I don't know what that means as a percentage or housed in portables, but I'm sure that's roughly about half. And so we are, and so at any given time, I think there are like 1,000 people on that campus. So we are looking for another, potential elementary school location. Coincidentally, on that first map Kevin showed, you look down in the lower left corner and you see that contrast. The Grant and Park and other neighborhoods, there are also additional neighborhoods that are being constructed right now. That's high density, right? And so those high density neighborhoods are right in the southwest portion of our district. And like I said, more neighborhoods are underway. So we're interested in this Hawkinson Meadows location due to its proximity to those neighborhoods. And also Hawkinson Meadows Park in the future disc golf course. I really feel that there could be some mutual benefit there between a school district campus and those park facilities. We have explored, as one option, a potential property trade with that parcel that Kevin showed. We're not sure about that because I think we would also like to explore the possibility of an outright purchase. It depends on how this property appraises. So what I heard Kevin say is it's around a 40-acre, I don't even know if you call it a parcel, but those boundaries kind of designate a 40-acre piece of property. And when we had an initial assessment done by basically a geotech, a wetland mitigation specialist, he said really like 10 to 12 acres, somewhere around that, are kind of suitable for an elementary school. So we know what we're dealing with. This is primarily a wetland, but we sure like the location and we also have a need. And so I wanted to explore this option with Clark County and then tonight with the Parks Advisory Board.
So Kevin, I think just to keep everyone on track, can we ask questions and discuss with each project as we go instead of all at the end? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay, do you want to add any more to what Steve said, or should we open it up for discussion and questions from the board?
I just have a couple of details. So these are all 40-acre, well, they're like 40-acre squares out there. So if you look at where it says future disc golf course in the reddish brown, that's 40 acres. So the property that we've talked about with Steve is two of those essentially. So it's 80 acres, and then the lime green area where you could potentially site a school where there's no grant restrictions it's approximately 55 to 60 acres. And so within that, he's saying that there's whatever the figure was, 10 to 12 acres that could be suitable for a school. So just a little bit more on acreage there for you to consider.
Thank you, Kevin, for clarifying that. Yes, right along that boundary line in north is what our wetland mitigation specialist kind of analyzed. So you're exactly right. Out of that 50, 55 acres, he was saying, you know,
this is Laura. Can I add one more thing before you have further discussion? Yes, of course, Laura. Okay, thank you. So during my research on the property, on the history of this property, the original intent was for the Hawkinson School District to have a portion of the property for a school, in particular an elementary school. So as a part of the plan from the beginning. However, at that time, the population density wasn't where it was, where they felt like they could actually go to voters within the school district and ask for the funds to pay for the property. So we picked up the full cost for everything with support from RCO for the developed park areas. So I just wanted to add that little bit of history to the conversation. Thanks, Laura. One question I have is, I know when we talked about surplus properties in the past, that can be a really controversial subject, people have really strong feelings about existing park property. So what would our outreach look like in terms of, you know, I don't live in Hawkinson, but I'm sure the residents of Hawkinson have strong opinions either way. Is there a survey that would go out to the folks who live there with their thoughts on this, or how do we get that community's feelings about this issue?
I'm going to have to lean on Galena for this one.
We would need to develop a public process here. You know, we certainly have logistics that need to be put in place. This would take a minute. It wouldn't be decided overnight. We don't have a standard protocol for what a public process in a case like this would look like. I would love to work on one with my staff and bring it to your attention next time. And if I'm not mistaken, Steve, right now you just kind of need a preliminary, right, sort of how do you feel about this in general, so you could start talking to your board, because wouldn't you have to go out and get a bond? And I mean, can you tell us just a little bit more of a perspective on what that would look like on your end? Because you'll do outreach as well, correct?
Yes, we would do outreach. And right now, Galena, I think many of you would understand, I say it's not a great time to go out for a bond. For many reasons, economic climate, and then also the fact, remember at the beginning of my presentation, I said our enrollment is down. And so I think we have a pretty sizable portion of our families who are disappointed that we are not providing in-person services. And they express their displeasure by, you know, either unenrolling their students or by, you know, expressing their opinions in social media. So we know it's not a very popular time for us to go out and ask for support. We do have some available funds to make a purchase. I think we have to explore, as I understand it, one of the first steps besides reaching out to you is for us to get an appraisal of both pieces of property. And so we do have a 2017 Collier's appraisal for the property on 169th approximately. We would like to move forward with an appraisal of this property again, because it's not 80 acres of, you know, a property that's amenable to a construction project. I mean, it's really looking at kind of doing some mitigation. I think the wetland mitigation specialist said it would really be about $1 million. to make that that little chunk I talked about, that 10 or 12 acres, work. So it's going to be quite an investment. It's going to take some time too. But we were interested in kind of getting this process underway so we could begin, like I said, the appraisal process. If we can find a mutual, agreement that works for both us and the county, and then also to start those mitigation efforts. Apparently they go from improving drainage to kicking off the cattle and planting hay instead. And so there are some of those steps, and then they have to contact apparently the Army Corps of Engineers, and that begins quite a process. So I think there's a timetable that goes along with a piece of property like this.
Did that help, Kelsey? So we would need to put together a plan. Okay, here's all these steps that need to be taken and when, and part of that would be looking at a public involvement strategy, because full disclosure, we don't have one in place for that. These are not the types of transaction we do very frequently. There will be a process once we do go in the direction, let's say, of a sale or trade, but that's, months from now, if not longer.
Board, I wanted to make you aware of something that Michelle reminded me of that I realized that you may not be aware of. Although I said this is, this property is ideal in location, but it may not be ideal in terms of its readiness for construction, The reason why we really have settled on this piece of property is for the reason that was brought up earlier. Mark Bolt reached out to me and said, our original vision was to have Hawkinson School District kind of partner with Hawkinson Meadows, and maybe the school district could site a parking lot that benefits both sites and that kind of thing. So we're all about partnering. The second thing is when we're looking at possible locations, they're all wet in Hawkinson, except if you go up in our hills. And we're not really inclined to go up into the highlands because that puts us farther away from our population center, and it also puts us farther away from Hawkinson Meadows Park, which I think is a real asset to our community. So we've looked at a lot of different properties, and they all come back as wetlands, 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 wetlands. And so then we came back to this particular site because of the reasons that I've kind of already covered, but there just aren't a lot of suitable sites in our district unless they're farther out.
So I apologize. I was distracted there for a couple minutes. Are we talking about the sale or transfer of that entire 80 acres? In other words, the disc golf course goes away or partial on that?
Yeah, the disc golf course is not included. Okay. So it's just what you see on the screen. It's just the lime green area, and it sounds like it may only be a portion of that.
Right. And as I remember, we've got some real preliminary phase 3 development drawings for that area, but nothing of real solidity.
I think you're correct, John, in that there were some concepts that went into the master planning for the entire property before it was actually developed.
Yeah. So just, at first brush for my part anyway, I definitely want to look at ways to partner with Hawkinson, especially if Mr. Marshall apologizes for ditching Camas like he did. But yeah, always partnerships are a good thing, for just to throw that out there.
Thank you, John. I do apologize, but I'm also really happy out here. I think Hawkinson is a neat place. Camas is a special place too, for sure.
Good answer.
So if I pipe up, I want to apologize for my internet. I'm out in the country. I'm actually on the corner of 119th and 182nd in the Hawkinson School District. and around the corner from Hawkinson Community Park, and on the agenda, I compared the location of this swap property, and it's up on the hill, and there are no other parks around it. And I just kind of want to, you know, like John said, at first blush, I mean, this just is all positive to me. I mean, I think it's great. I'm in favor.
So, Kevin, are you looking for like a motion that we give our blessing for this to proceed? Or what do you want from us?
Yeah, I don't know if it needs to be a motion or if it's all, you know, if it's a thumbs up, thumbs down from everybody in their opinion on moving forward with discussions with Hawkinson School District.
And I concur with Kevin. We don't need a formal motion that nobody kind of where you stand.
Do you want me to kind of just, so we've had Stacy's input, we've had John's. Dave, are you affirmative for moving forward?
That's fine with me.
Dave, busy in his boardroom. Let's see, Jay, do you want to chip in?
I think I'm fine if we just move forward. I want to see more about what the land is and what can be used.
Yeah, and I think I'm the only other board member on. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I agree in terms of exploring the options more. I just want to make sure that, you know, we get slammed every time we try to change something that we didn't reach out to the public well enough. So I really want to make sure we get the community out there. I mean, they're not so much their blessing, but their feedback and hear their, you know, their thoughts on it. So with that being said, I'm good with it as well.
We'll continue our research, and as we learn more and move forward, I think it'd be best in everyone's best interest to come back to you and have conversations. You know, I imagine like an open house where people come and learn, and the school could present something and we could do it, but you all know what our restrictions are these days. Surveys are great, but they miss a big element of our community, and I can tell you that just from some of the surveys work that we're doing on other projects. Not everybody has access to computers, not everyone has time, not everybody understands. We have multiple different languages spoken in our community. So but we're months away, if not years away, from having a final, you know, here they could start, you know, taking ownership. So I think we have an opportunity here to keep talking. What I'm hearing is all positive to keep moving forward and bring it back to you. Is that sort of the summary of where we are?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Thank you. Steve, yes, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, Steve, thanks for being on the call with us today, too.
No, likewise. I appreciate this opportunity. And Galena, when you talked about an open house, and John happened to mention, you know, Camas, really think one of the best examples of interfacing with the community was on that roundabout at Lake Road and 503. Just a lot of great community input, and then because there was the input, there was a support. And so I think it would be not only prudent, I think it would be really positive to do an open house, and our district would be on board with doing that on a few occasions, not just having one, but maybe having a series. So
perfect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. I think we're going to sign off. Sure appreciate this opportunity to interact with you and learn from you. Good night.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good night. All right, moving on. And Kevin, I hate to say it, but as quickly as you can do the next
Yeah, actually, these should go quicker. Shouldn't be too much discussion about these. So the next one's Ridgefield School District, similar request, but we're talking about Fairgrounds Community Park this time. They're interested in sort of the easternmost part of the property on near Northwest 11th. Laura and I found that the property does have grant restrictions both for purchase and development. We discussed this with council members again in those one-on-one meetings. And the recommendation at this point is to not move forward with it. And that's because of the grant restrictions. We did find out when we told Richfield about this that they are pursuing property that would be adjacent to Fairgrounds Community Park. And so they expressed interest in some future collaboration on development, not unlike what happened with the Ridgefield Outdoor Recreation Complex. Really high level, just sort of throwing out that idea at this point. That's all the information we have. So just some maps for you guys. The lime green area is the undeveloped portion of the park that they were interested in, but again, grant restrictions. So we know grant conversion processes are a pain. We're still dealing with the one on the sewer line with City of Camas. So difficult. That's it on Fairgrounds. If you guys have any questions or comments. Okay, I'm not hearing anything, so we'll move on. Next one is Lacamas Heritage Trail. There's been a lot of discussion lately about Lacamas Heritage Trail and some parking issues. Through those discussions, we learned from Pat Lee that there was some discussion early on about transferring the ownership to City of Camas at some point in the future. So the county owns 14.5 acres of the trailhead and corridor on the north end of Lacamas Lake. Camas owns 31 acres, extending from our ownership down to Heritage Park. They also own a small little piece of property up near the trailhead. And again, that initial development discussion envisioned a future transfer of the trail ownership to Camas. We discussed this with the council members, and they expressed an interest in hearing from you and having some future discussions about this. So this shows the ownership. It's kind of hard to see, but there's like a little bit darker gray color where the trail runs. And then the blue triangle is the little piece that Camas owns right by our trailhead. Some Columbia Land Trust ownership in there as well. Across the creek is the Camp Curry property. That's the green color. The south end of the trail is all owned by Camas. That's the red. So that's it on Lacamas. Unless Galena has an update on any outreach to the City of Camas, I don't think we've heard anything.
Yeah, no, the City of Camas staff had also shared that that was their understanding that the property would be transferred to them back when we applied for some grants to improve specifically the parking lot and the restroom area. I don't know why it didn't occur. I will add that we're working with the city on some agreements to document our relationship and who does what and who maintains what. But for many, many years, the city has been providing maintenance on the trail, at the parking lot. There was actually confusion right after, there was the original governor's orders around different phases, and some parks departments closed their parks. The city thought they already owned this area. And so we actually, new staff, at least myself and others on my team, had learned that they did not. And so we've been conversing. I think they're very open to it. They already take care of it. And this is outside of our MPD. It's all general fund dollars. So we're interested in continuing that discussion with them. And it sounds like they are as well.
So that's really it on Lacamas. Unless you guys have any questions, I think the recommendation at this point was to continue to talk about the transfer of ownership to the City of Camas.
It's a no-brainer.
Okay.
John, you want to be a park host down there?
No, but thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, I'll jump to the last one. This is the Fountain Village Homeowners Association. You may have heard about this before, I'm not sure. So the Fountain Village HOA approached the county about donating a piece of their open space as part of their development. It's 0.88 acres. The property is adjacent to Dogwood Neighborhood Park on the western boundary. Council discussions about this, and the recommendation is to politely decline at this time. And it's primarily because we just, you know, we're having some concerns about the future outlook of our Metropolitan Parks District budget, and taking on more property to maintain is just hard for us right now. So here's a map showing the property. Dogwood is the green, and then the Fountain Village HOA is that turquoise color. There's a stormwater facility there that the county already owns. And so that's the highlight on this one. Any questions or discussion?
This is Dave. That was the right move. I'm in favor.
Just FYI, it isn't my neighborhood, so I was a little biased, but like Kevin said, it's not one sliver of land here and there. When we look at things holistically, and we have to already balance our budget for MPD for next year to cut some things, it just right now it makes sense, and we could revisit long term. So I was going to follow up with the community group that came to your parks board meeting a while back, I think before we stopped meeting, and just to let them know, because they have been waiting on our response.
I just have a curiosity question on why these discussions went to the counselors first instead of us making the recommendations to the counselors instead of us doing it this direction.
Really no special plan or intent. We were updating them on multiple inquiries that came in. We had a whole slew of things that also apply to Conservation Future. So just so you know, council one-on-ones is just us giving them an FYI. We did not seek their permission or approval. We would do that in public forum. It was more of keep them up to speed on everything that's going on with parks, and largely because we haven't been able to meet with them since March. We're just now starting to get on our radar with council time and work session. So I hope that helps. It was really essentially an FYI.
Okay, so do we need to, like we did with Hawkinson, then formally give our approval to the counselor's recommendations? Like our thumbs up or blessings to move forward with discussions? Do you want that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be good. It sounded like there wasn't a lot of discussion on all the other ones, but if it was something similar to Hawkinson, that would be great.
So let's... do you think we could just say, if you have any objections to moving forward, can you write that in the chat that you don't want to move forward, just because we're running a little late and I want to give Laura time on the post plan. So we'll assume everyone's giving these projects the recommendation noted in Kevin's PowerPoint, unless otherwise noted in the chat. And please specify the project that you're not in favor of the recommendation in the chat. All right. Thank you, Kevin. It's good to see you.
You're welcome.
You everybody. Had to turn your camera on because you were presenting today.
I know. Good you guys have a wonderful evening. Talk to you later.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
All right, Laura, we kept pushing you off and off and off, and it is your turn. If you could be done by 5:40, that would be swell.
Can everybody else hear Laura? I cannot.
I cannot hear Laura either. Laura, can you chat?
Oh, here we go. Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Ah, wonderful. Thank you. So sorry. Okay. And you probably saw my little question to Alex because it was on that screen. All right. Thank you for allowing me some time to visit with you a little bit and just give you a little bit of update. There were a lot of documents that came to you, and I do not intend to cover all of those tonight. I just wanted you to have those just to so you're informed of documents that have been developed so far and some of the conversations that we've had, whether it's been in stakeholder meetings or one-on-one discussions. There is one point that I need tonight that I am going to need a decision from you, but I'm going to move forward. Last month, Steve Dew provided the survey summary to you. We're working through the report right now to just to clean up a few things, add in some more information. You asked for some additional data, so we'll be working through that as well. I just wanted, some of you had asked about the demographics and the comparison for Clark County demographics. We're using the Office of Financial Management and the U.S. Census most recent finalized population estimates for 2019. When we look at the number of respondents that were Caucasian, our respondents were actually at a lower percentage than Clark County overall. In our final summary, we'll be putting in a graph so that we're able to compare the two numbers so you can see what our respondents look like and what that actually looks like according to the U.S. Census and the Office of Financial Management. You've seen these numbers before, so I'm going to move on. Some questions came back to me on the outreach process and who was supposed to do what. So Conservation Techniques provided the survey tool, did the fine tuning for that with our comments. And then it was up to us to do the public outreach. It was up to us to put it on the county website, to have the social media campaign, and it was shared via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Nextdoor. We had a large email campaign that went out to thousands and thousands of people. We shared it with all of our staff. We also shared it with all of the Clark County Council Advisory Boards and Commissions, and then they shared it with all of their members and contacts. We had a great partnership with Public Health, who also shared it with WIC participants and participants in other programs. So again, thousands of people that we reached out to in that way. We did have some online presentations, some stakeholder meetings, and those were well attended. We had some park meetings that were particular to diversity and inclusion for park topics. And so those I'll be going over a little bit more, but we were really excited to hear from them. We also had survey flyers that were posted in parks and trails. And then Eric was kind enough to work with us to actually hand out flyers in the fee booth for that as well. In all of these efforts, we worked with our communications team, as I mentioned, Public Health and others, to contact beyond what's listed below, over 50 individuals and groups serving minority community members. Because when we got the preliminary numbers back, we said we need to reach more in the community that represent those the minority community members. And so with that is when we added the two park meetings specific to diversity and inclusion, as well as going back out and reaching out to folks to get more feedback. In addition, I did some one-on-one interviews. Steve Dew and his team did some one-on-one interviews, 6 of those in total, and then I had one with Nicole, which was fabulous, which I'm excited about. We'll be using some of her remarks in our park inventory review. But the other interview I had was with a wonderful couple that serves the community, and I have a slide where I'll be showing that to you in a minute. This is the flyer that went out to our community members in 3 languages. We had the QR codes in 3 languages. The survey itself was posted in 3 languages on the website. We did what we could, given the pandemic. You know, we had hoped to actually meet with people in person, and the the I can't think of the word right now. The market, the farmers markets opened up, and we thought, well, maybe that's a venue that we could go to. And then our numbers started to spike again in Clark County. So we didn't do that, and we went to the online meeting format again instead, and continue to push for people to take the survey online or by phone. These are the dates of the stakeholder group meetings, and we had an additional meeting with public health for other input and ways that they're actually meeting with communities of diversity, and received some better contacts and some more information from them, which is really helpful. The two meetings that we had on August 19th and the 20th really provided some great feedback, and the results of those meetings are in your packet. The thing that was echoed in both those meetings, as well as the one-on-one interview that I had with these two wonderful people right here, is that don't let the discussion stop. Keep the discussions going. Engage people in conversations. Don't have this just be an every 6-year thing. Find ways to keep people engaged throughout. And I wanted to pull up a little bit on, he said, listen. Derek Thompson said, Thomas said, listen. So often what they're finding in the communities that they're working with is that they're being told what they want, told what's needed. And they said, please listen. In fact, he has a shirt that he wears in community meetings that says, shut up, sit down, and listen, because they really, really want their message to be heard. And they're doing some great work right now in their communities and trying to bring people together in discussions. People of color, people of diversity, along with the police force, coming together at the table and talking about what are the issues, what are the challenges, and what are some ways that we can work together for some common goals. So they're really doing some great work, and they were hoping that at some point they could come and share some of those things, but also, again, encouraging us to be looking at ways to continue these conversations. As I said before, okay, so this is the next step, sorry. So the next step is we want to launch an online survey this month to actually narrow the scope. What would the public like us to do in narrowing the scope? So the survey would start at the end of the month, and then we would close it around the middle of the month, and then have some information that we would bring in front of you from that to help with those decisions. So we had a wide scope of information that came from the initial survey. Normally we would do this in an open house format where people would come in and go around the room and talk to staff and talk to the park advisory board members. But we don't have that opportunity right now given our current challenges. So we're hoping that this would be a way to get some feedback from a wider range of people. And I'd also like to talk to you about scheduling two more interim meetings to get your additional input. Given the way this year has gone, you know, canceling meetings, we haven't had the opportunity that we would normally like to have to gain all of your feedback and your input towards the final plan. So that's our hope, is to do those in the coming months. And I have some of this in the timeline, so I'm just going to go to the next. Some people have wondered how far have we gotten in some of this in the plan so far. This is just a summary of just the last invoice that we received. They're continuing to work, so some of this is moving forward even more. So some of the thoughts of consideration within the goals and objectives that we would have go through during one of the PAB interim meetings is to fine-tune the plan. I will prepare slides that show the comparison of what it looked like in the 2015 plan and the suggested updates. Steve has already sent those to me, and I'm going through them for review. And then with approval, the goals and objectives would actually be a standalone portion of the document, whereas now it's inserted into the implementation section. And again, we'll talk about that in hopefully one of our other meetings. So what we're proposing is these two dates for October, either Wednesday or Thursday, October 28th or 29th, spending an hour together online to go through some of these documents and have some open discussions on what needs to be in the plan. And then again, following the November meeting on the 18th or 19th, and that one would need to be a little bit longer because we're asking the consultant to have a final draft to you in December. So for most of us, the 19th looks better, but I'm open to your suggestions on that. Kelsey, you had suggested actually sending out a doodle poll following this meeting, if you all agree, to find out when everybody would be available.
Yeah, I think, especially because Barbara is not present, sending some sort of scheduling app where we specify our preferences. And again, if we get a quorum, we're going to have to publicly notice it, but we should have time if the 28th. Yeah, it's a 2-week notice. Is that correct? For public meetings, or is it 1 week?
We've been doing 1 week. We've tried to do longer in the past.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, and I'm sure everyone else, just for brevity, if we could have a poll or a survey go out on what days work for us, I think that would be best.
All right, I know you don't need me there, but I am out both 28th and 29th.
Okay. Those were the only dates that our consultant had available during that time. All right, I'll talk to you some more about that. So I tried to go through that really quick in the interest of time. Do you have any questions for me?
I do, but they're not time pressing. And so I've written them down, and I encourage everyone else to do so too. And then we can just roll them into those next two meetings that are planned specific, if that's good with everyone, since we need to wrap up in 20. I'll assume it's good with everyone because no one's talking. So, all right, Laura, thank you so much for your work on this. And again, if we could do a little homework before those meetings and read some of those stakeholder interviews and such, so we can have a more informed discussion on it, I think that would be good.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Laura. Okay, I'm in that slide, so let me pop over to the agenda real quick. I think it's Galena's show for the last 20 minutes here. So timeline for lower daybreak.
I will not need 20 minutes, so hopefully you'll have time to do your round robin too. Let me just pull up my notes. A lot has happened, and I just want to make sure I have everything correctly here. So for lower daybreak, we have a hearing with council on October 20th. We will be asking for notice to proceed. So I think Sarah did a really good job kind of giving you an update on where she was with the project. But as soon as we have an approval, she'll start working on logistics and getting the contract out. And our goal is to move forward in this project as soon as possible, because there are some potential grant challenges if we don't start spending the money. So very exciting. Like I said, we have not gone to council in so long. I think we're all out of practice a little bit. Hey, I want whatever she got. I want that too. but I just wanted to give you an update. If you want, I know that you have a lot of other meetings, but when parks issues come up on council radar, I want you to know, which brings me to another point that I did not have on this agenda, but tomorrow we are scheduled to have a work session with council about Camp Bonneville cleanup. Kim Bonneville, Master Planning Ideas. We've received a lot of public interest in this topic, so I imagine there will be lots of questions tomorrow. So it's a work session format. It starts at 9 o'clock. You could go on council webpage, log in and listen. I think this is one that they video and you could listen to it. And then right after after we're done with the work session, we will be in council time talking about two issues. One is the letter that we drafted with help from our traffic management team, rather redrafted. It's an older version of a letter that was in circulation before my time. We will take it to council to see if they have any additional edits and also to check and see when they want to send it to the city of Vancouver. I was just asked to come to council and confirm today, so I haven't had a chance, Jay, to talk to Harmony. If they want to listen in, if someone could let them know, that'd be great. I was going to email them before my day ended and just say, FYI, this letter will be on council time tomorrow. And then we're also talking about a shooting range. English Pit will not be available to the sheriff's office as a shooting range. They are currently using Camp Bonneville and they want to move the rest of their operation there. So we are going to council tomorrow to just kind of put it on the radar and see how they wish to proceed. Again, a topic that has received a lot of interest. And if you are curious about it and want to join in and listen in, the information is online. And I could send it to you too. If you can't find it, just say, hey, how do I log in? I'll send you the information I have. Again, like I said, I wasn't planning to get into it too much, but those are some important things. Let's see. I'm working with only one screen, so it's a bit difficult for me to navigate. Bear with me. Okay, just a few minor updates. I wouldn't call it minor. It's quite big, and I'm changing order of things just a little bit. I think I mentioned at our last meeting that Pat Lee will be going to council to ask for their approval to bring the Conservation Futures draft plan with you for you to prioritize and review. We received that approval a couple of weeks ago. Pat is currently out on vacation. When he is back, he will be working on a presentation to you. It will be quite robust and will probably require a couple of meetings. But Pat will be coming to you with a draft Conservation Futures plan. I will say there will be some folks who'd want to come and talk to you, folks who want to sell property to the county under Conservation Futures plan. I think you've met some of them before. We had a golf course, folks from Battleground area, and forgive me, I should remember the name, but it's escaping me right now. Nick, I remember the first name is Nick. So he had expressed interest in come to you and talk to you and get your support in moving that acquisition forward. So lots more work before this is all baked for you to review, but when Pat comes back, he and I will work on a plan and work with the executive team on scheduling his presentations. Going back to my other screen. Just few staffing and budget updates. I'll start with good news. We interviewed an incredible group of folks for the next volunteer program coordinator. We were so split that the group decided to do a second interview. We'll meet with our three finalists on Monday and then hopefully have a front runner who will screen further and I'll let you know who that is. We'll introduce them to you. The coordinator will still work on all parks things to a degree that they can. You know, we continue to essentially just stick with the governor's orders and do very small volunteer groups. We haven't done any big events in a very, very long time, but the position is so critical. The park host recruitments, we have multiple vacancies, so I can't wait for this person to start and take on that body of work. Also, I think some of you know, or hopefully I shared it with the whole group, Megan Loki's last day with us was a couple of weeks ago. We will be recruiting for her replacement, so because this is a represented position, we have to do an internal transfer first, offer it up to folks and see if anybody qualifies. And only at that point can we advertise it externally. So more on that soon. Very critical position, good paying job. I'll send it to you if you know folks who are interested. let them know that they should apply. Kevin is completing a recruitment to his mitigation technician had left for a promotion internally, and so their position is currently vacant. We're looking at having someone go through the final screening process here this week and hope to make an offer within the next week or two. I think we mentioned already that all of our fee collectors and lifeguards are done for the year. We have a few temporary employees who are still helping us with parks. They will likely stay on until we get into the colder weather when a lot of our restrooms will be closed for the winter. So that's just a heads up in terms of where our staff resources are. And between my different programs, we still have a number of vacancies that we put on hold to generate some savings this year. We have at least three vacancies in Parks and Lands Division that could be filled that are currently vacant. Which brings me to our budget, just really briefly. You know, because we put non-essential spending on hold, we were asked to cut back on our temporary employees and still manage to bring in revenue. We will have a substantial savings in our program. It's not something that we get to just take with us to next year. It just shows that we were diligent and did a good job. And my staff, some of us play four or five different roles right now. So we're becoming very lean and very resourceful. With that said, we've learned a lot of lessons about how to do things differently, with more of a cost-benefit analysis in mind. So I'm looking forward to next year and trying to do things, you know, in a more standard way, creating some maintenance standards for parks that go beyond, you know, big picture and really kind of aim at how often do we mow? How often do we irrigate? How often do we prune? Things of that nature. So more on that topic as we continue to have those discussions internally, but we really learned a lot this year about us, our group, and the way we can do business. Next year, the budget hearings will be in November. Again, if you know where to find information about council meetings, that's where you could find more information on when they are and what time. We are scheduled to come to council in mid-November. I'll look for a date and send it to you as a reminder. And essentially, two things will happen. One, we will go to council and ask for them to adopt our MPD budget. We're still working through the details of that, of what exactly we'll be asking for, if we're going to be asking for a 1% levy amount increase like we did last year or not. And then right after that hearing, we'll have a hearing on the whole budget for the county. And as you all know, we have two potential cuts. One, if taken, would cut our general fund by about 8%. That's a significant cut. And we could take it, we plan to take it in non-essential lines next year. Concurrently, to balance our MPD budget, we're looking at 8% in that budget as well. Again, what we're looking at cutting would be non-essential services, temporary employees, things of that nature. So if both of those cuts are taken across our division, it actually comes up to 10%. It's a significant cut for us. So I'll make sure that you guys are in the loop. And as we continue to have conversations about how we make it work over the next year or so, your voices and support will be incredible and needed. That's all I have. I know I talked fast. I had like 30 cups of coffee today. So any questions?
It doesn't look like it. And it looks like most people have disappeared from the meeting. Thanks everyone for holding out till 6. Let's see. I'm going to run through for our roundtable discussion. Chime in when I call your name and say something really enlightening, or if you want to just pass. So we'll start with Dave, who I know will say something really enlightening. Dave.
I actually had a question. Stacy was cutting out during her presentation on the meeting today, and I was just curious, did the agreement state that the county is going to give right away 413th? Was that part of that negotiation today?
I can answer that if Stacy's not still on the meeting. She doesn't look like she is. The agreement or the discussion of the agreement, nothing is in writing, is that the county and the city will come to some type of agreement, either an IOA or a DA, that states that basically 13th Street at this time will be a drive aisle from 192nd into the complex, and that at any point in time in the future, after discussion with quote unquote other landowners involved, they will, the thought is if 13th is deemed necessary, then there will be, you know, the right-of-way dedication. And if that's the case, then there will be some, there will be statements in there that will state that the impact will be replaced, like and like. So in other words, if the one ball field's taken out, then that will be replaced. And that is yet to be discussed, and how that statement and the impact of that statement, if you will. But no, right, the word right away was very carefully not used. It was driving aisle at first for right now.
Okay, that's a win. So that's good.
Yes, yes. That is a positive statement.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Dave. Eric, do you want to say anything?
Well, I'll just add thank you for allowing me to come in and spend a little time and share and educate. I had a couple other things I could add about fee collection, but we're running up against it, and I can just about the staff, and I can get into that another time. It's not critical. So thank you.
Yes, we'll definitely let us know. I'll reach out to you before our next agenda planning meeting to see if you want to pop in again. So. Thanks, Eric. Galena, you have anything for the good of the order?
Just that we appreciate each and every one of you so much. John spent, like 10 hours with me interviewing our volunteer coordinator. Jay is always so helpful and kind of keeping me in the loop on things that are harmony. It takes a village to help our parks manager, so for that, I'm grateful. And Laura's asking to keep the pros plan on the agenda. The chat disappeared, but we could follow up internally.
Yes, Laura, absolutely. We just roll that onto unfinished business in perpetuity on all agendas for now. John, do you have anything?
I'll note that Washougal has started on building their connection trail between along the dike, basically connecting the Ports Trail to the rest of the dike, so that by next year we will have a continuous trail from the marina almost to the county line, minus of course the dike realignment project, which is going forward, is looking awesome. And anybody who wants to use the dike, it is open for this winter only.
Awesome. Laura, did you want to add anything besides your comment about the pros plan on the agenda?
Sure, I just wanted to give you a little update on the Lewis and Clark Trail. John, we might have to come up with an award for Washougal for having the most continuous segments of trails to the Lewis and Clark Trail. We submitted an article and video to the Intertwine to be posted in their Outside Voice. As soon as that happens, I will let you know, because we want to share to keep stakeholders engaged on the exciting project. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura. Stacy?
I've got nothing enlightening.
Thank you for working on harmony with Jay. That was one I totally wanted to pass on. So thank you. All right. And I don't really have anything. And we actually ended a meeting 3 minutes early. I think this is a record for us. So we'll call the meeting over at 5:57. Be on the lookout for Laura's email about the post plan meetings we have to squeeze in. Other than that, have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.